episode 305, June 19th, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
This was the hardest episode ever to get through. I don't want to say that yet because it hasn't happened yet. But we're
you're 30 seconds in. So
yeah,
I'm not.
That's June 20th. We recorded this episode. What number is it? 305,
right?
What is it? 306. Yeah.
And Marcus is going to get mad, but I want to know if we should call this 305 or 306.
Oh, jeez. We'll get to that. Well, we attempted to do this episode at 8 a.m. on the 17th because we were going to rehearse our murder mystery on the 19th. We have a show coming up tomorrow, the 21st, at the DC Improv. Needed a little refresher, really, to go through it with Justin Schlegel, 98 Rock, the star of our show and the one with the most lines by far. So we get up early Saturday morning after Joe and I had played poker till 2 a.m. the night before. And I thought together we put together quite a good show. But then, Robbie, you went back and listened to it, and every second was garbled and unlistenable, correct?
Yep, exactly. Do you want to hear what it sounded like?
Yeah, let's hear some of it.
So this is the first set. We're recording what we've done before. We're doing it at 8:30 a.m. on Saturday.
Yeah.
You couldn't have fixed that, Robbie?
I tried. Marcus said
you
it
did?
Was, I did. I actually tried. Even after Marcus told me that I was fucked, I still tried to fix it, and it was just, there was nothing I could do.
It's a problem I've come across before, and I actually reached out to the same guy that I talked to before, because it's a phasing problem, and there are ways to correct phasing within the programs that we use, but no, it was too severe for us to correct.
If we would have released the show that way, do you think anybody would have listened to it all the way through? There's got to be a couple people.
I think TMOS would have said it was the best, most listenable show ever.
Yeah, maybe. What if we got the most downloads for that ever? So, and we were supposed to have Andy Klein on, because originally we were going to do it on a normal Monday slot, and we moved to Saturday. He couldn't do it. So then we fast forward to Monday, where we're going to do our rehearsal at Joe's. The reason we couldn't do the podcast, and the Monday, the 19th, was the date that was the best for Justin, really. That's the key. And, of course, Justin gets into a car accident on the way to rehearsal. Nothing major.
Well, I wouldn't say it's not major. Do you know the story behind this?
Roughly.
His car was rear-ended, driven into the car in front of him. They said, all right, well, let's pull off into this parking lot. They pull off. The person who hit Justin from behind drives off.
Jeez.
Now, by the way, license plate, I can't. Yeah, right. I mean, you don't, I guess it doesn't occur to you to take down a license plate to somebody that hit you if they get out of the car and they say, let's pull over into this parking lot?
I got hit from behind once. The girl was very nice, but the first thing I did was shoot a picture of her license plate.
Of course, Robbie has to just...
Yes.
All right. Yeah, Justin's the victim. He's the one.
Say something to Justin tomorrow about how he should have done that.
Yeah. All right. So the very reason for doing the podcast Saturday morning was to rehearse with Justin on Monday night. So, of course, that then couldn't happen. And the very reason we didn't have Andy is... We could have had Andy on Monday, but we didn't do the show on Monday. So then we have no Andy, no Justin for rehearsal, and then no Saturday podcast because it was garbled. So here we are, Tuesday, doing the show, and it's
starting
be
over.
Awesome. We're starting over.
Square one right here.
I thought you just missed me.
Well,
we also missed you, Marcus, but we still want to go ahead and air the show had it not been garbled, regardless of how much we miss you.
But to give Robbie Robinson some credit here, you heard that garbled episode. It was hard to listen to more than 2-3 seconds. He listened to the entire episode and made, I'm not going to exaggerate, I would guess 40 to 50 notes, particular things that we spoke on, and typed it all out. So we literally can go over he took minutes basically on the podcast.
Can I tell you why he did that?
Because he's Robbie.
Well, because he would think of how he would have reacted if that had happened to one of us. So he felt incredibly responsible. Meanwhile, he's not. He's not responsible. But Robbie would have held, can you imagine? Remember, every once in a while, my computer will make a sound. And Robbie be like, your computer's fucked up again. So he's like, all right, if I'm going to accuse you, then I have to own this when it happens to me. And so as a result, he probably did extra work because he felt responsible.
Well, he did. I mean, that was pretty painstaking, but you did it. But before we get to what we already covered and what we'll cover again, let's talk about the things that's happened since then. Good news for you, Robbie. The Bachelor in Paradise production is starting up again. No sexual assault. Perhaps it was just a publicity stunt. You were right. The show will air as intended in August. So congratulations. Your summer will be made.
Do you think Robbie is more happy that someone wasn't raped or that The Bachelor in Paradise will air?
The Bachelor in Paradise will air. It's funny. I had the exact same thought. So congrats to that. So that's good for Robbie, but bad for you, Joe Robinson. Daniel Day-Lewis says he is retiring from acting.
And he doesn't seem like the kind of person that, Muhammad Ali's it, when he comes out of retirement 50 times.
He doesn't seem like Brett Favre to you, Daniel Day-Lewis?
No, he's a guy. He clearly doesn't care about making $100 million because he makes a film and then he doesn't make another one for 5 years. And he's up in the mountains making shoes. So when he says he's done making movies, I'm pretty sure Phantom Thread is going to be released this December. It's going to be his last movie.
If they were to make a movie about Daniel Day-Lewis's life, who would you want to play him? And you can't say Daniel Day-Lewis.
Wow. I mean, I'm trying to think of somebody that... I mean, he doesn't necessarily have to be an actor of the caliber of Daniel Day-Lewis, which isn't possible anyway.
Jack Black.
Jack Black. Yeah, that's... Jeez. I guess Justin Schlecht. Yeah. I don't have anybody. I guess DiCaprio. I mean, he's not, that's not really what he's like. I mean, I'm trying to think of my favorite actors, like Gary Oldman, maybe.
All right. Well, maybe that'll happen. It'll be about him. Just his post life of making shoes. What if he goes on to make shoes? Like he's getting shoe deals with like basketball players for
the last Day Lewis he's ever going to be in. It's called Phantom Thread, and it is about he's a dress designer in the fashion world.
Yeah, it sounds like I have no interest in saying that.
Oh, no, it's Paul Thomas Anderson. It's going to be awesome. So, I guess if you're going to go out, by the way, the people that are in this movie with him, can I give you some of the names?
You can.
Never heard of any of them. Do you know who Leslie Manville is?
No.
I know who Leslie Mann is. That's the the wife of Judd Apatow.
These are, I just gave you the top six or seven names. Leslie Manville, Camilla Rutherford, Vicky Cripes, Richard Graham, Pip Phillips, and Jason Redshaw.
Do you recognize their faces?
I don't recognize a single one of them. Now, I clicked on Leslie Manville, and she was in Maleficent. Is that the name of the movie?
Yeah, close enough.
Maleficent.
Yeah.
You know, the Angelina is like the wicked stepmother or something to that effect.
The other news that's happened since Saturday that's big in our world is our greatest fan, our biggest supporter, our ambassador, if we were to have a press secretary, it would be Mac Berkson. He went on the AmeriCast, and he gave a fantastic performance. He dominated. I am going to go ahead and say it was the greatest guest appearance in the history of the AmeriCast. Do you agree, Marcus Serta?
Absolutely. He was engaged, yes. Engaging. He had not only, I mean, again, I said this before in the pre-show meeting, Mac, you know, because of the way that he got into the show and binged the show, he's a Robin Joe historian, and he just also happens to be a TMOS listener for a very long time. So he's got all these pieces of the puzzle, so he makes the perfect AmeriCast guest.
Let me ask you a question. Did he listen to all the shows that week so he wouldn't be disrespectful to say some of the other shows on the network other than the Mike O'Mara show?
I believe he was completely up to date.
I mean, he's the best. And I'm going to go ahead and say I am now claiming that the better Berkson is no longer Scott. It is Mac Berkson, the better Berkson. He said that I was his favorite, not Gramps. He's obviously way ahead. But of the three of us, Joe, Robbie, and myself, he has me as numero uno. So you, Mac Berkson, are the better Berkson. Suck it, Scott.
Man, where am I, third?
I mean, he didn't rank them, but you could tell that you would be third. It's questionable whether he even likes you at all. I mean, that's what I gathered from it.
He must really love you for this to be his favorite show, if he doesn't even like me, but yet he's the fan number 1A. So here, Robbie tried to not put him on the Mount Rushmore.
Right. Well, that's
good. I later retracted that.
He did retract that. But here's my question to you guys. What would be the bigger number? The number of new listeners we will get because of Mac's appearance on the AmeriCast, or the number of listeners we would lose if instead of Mac, we represented Chris Restivo as our number one fan, our ambassador, and he went on the AmeriCast.
Well, I say this, I don't, obviously, it's a lot more with Mac, but think so? I think that Chris Restivo would be a good guest on the AmeriCast. I'm going to go ahead and throw his hat in the ring. And by the way, he'll do it. And he'll listen to all the shows.
Now, he's pretty busy. He's a day trader.
If Chris reaches out to me and wants to be on the show, I will have him on the show.
Oh, my God. We got to make that happen.
Yeah, make sure he listens to all the other shows.
No, I don't need that. That's fine.
I want him on there representing us. That's not good.
I want him to be himself. But let me say this again. This was one of my favorite AmeriCasts to do because Mac was so engaged and it was just a great conversation. And I can't say enough about the conversation that we had, not just about the Robin Joe show, how he came to love it. His favorite Robinson is Gramps. He also gave a eulogy to Eric the actor and spoke about the conversations that he had off, you know, outside of the chat room with Eric the actor. And so you kind of get a little bit more, not just about the show, but you get about the community and such. So it was a great show. I really enjoyed it.
It was clearly the best AmeriCast ever.
Yeah, and I want to say to all our listeners, I want to say to all of our listeners, some of you, a lot of you are Mike O'Mara show fans to begin with. But for those of you that were just maybe original to us and it's we're your show and you don't really have a connection to these other shows, try to listen to the AmeriCast this week because it's excellent show. Marcus always does a good job, but I think Mac represented himself well and he represented our show well. So check it out. I want this to be the most downloaded, most listened to AmeriCast of all time.
Yes, please.
And I will let you guys know if that comes to be. I will let you know.
Well, I will say, I'm going to go on record as saying that as popular as this AmeriCast might be, I really believe that the Chris Restivo AmeriCast would really supersede whatever might happen here. But whatever, I guess we'll find that out.
Can I also say that I loved the interactions that came out, from my standpoint, came out of nowhere from Eric Woodworth.
Oh, yeah?
With the pictures of the T-shirts about his favorite number one fan.
Yes, Eric has gotten entrenched. I like that all these worlds have combined. I mean, I see, Sue Fedor liking posts from, Dorian Gray and people that she only could know through us and through this comedy world, this DC Baltimore comedy world. Obviously, people like Eric, we talk about a lot, but even the offshoots of people, it is cool to see, all these worlds sort of combining. We're making the world a better place. I think we can fairly say that, right, Joe?
Oh, yeah, of course we are. Wait till Restivo gets involved.
So I want to go over some of the key points. By the way, we will have Andy Klein on. Is it next week? Can we say that? Is that?
Yeah, he's got it on his calendar for next Monday.
Okay. I remember we talked last week about Twitter, and I'm not getting the respect that I deserve. And you, Joe, just tweeted the exact same – didn't retweet, just the exact same tweet that I did about Amber Rose and the Black Panther trailer. I had two hearts, likes, whatever. You ended up with 20.
Yeah. So that's no, who knows? Times. It's still climbing.
It's still climbing. Yes. But I do want to talk about Robbie shitting on Dave Schoeffer. Speaking of people that really support the show,
Joe Show account. Yeah, but before you continue, read what Robbie's synopsis of it was to remind us.
Okay. Joe discusses Robbie's retweet of and comment on Dave Schoeffer's Crownsville photo.
All right. Go ahead, continue.
I thought this is where you were going to take over.
No. So what? And I don't even really remember what Robbie said verbatim. Do you have it up?
Well, Dave is a depressing guy. A lot of his posts are, I'm lonely. Life's never going to work out for me. Another night with just me and
crippling anxiety, falling deeper into depression. Yes.
Right. I'm a failure. Yada, yada, yada. But he also does support our shows or retweets, or not even retweets, just writes a tweet about, well, see Rob here, see Joe here. Let's go to the murder mystery.
We talked about that. Whenever I am on 98 Rock, I never send out a tweet. I figure it's 5 a.m. It's too late. If I should have said something yesterday.
Right.
But Dave will always tweet it out. He always will. And so then I don't have to do the work and it's considerate. Yeah. He's a good person to have as a fan.
So he lives in Crownsville near where you guys live and are from. And he posts a photo of whatever that river is there. And he says, something to the effect of,
I got it. I actually have it right here.
Okay.
He says, good evening from Crownsville, Maryland. And it's a water view picture. And it's a very beautiful setting. It's cloudy, but the sun looks like it's setting. It's off in the distance, but it's a great picture. And Robin Joe Show responds to that by saying, don't be misled by this serene picturesque image. The Severn River is gross. Hashtag sewage.
So now here he issue, is.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's his first positive post out of like 50. He's basically saying, you know what? At least I've got this view, and that's calming me down. And Robbie immediately comes in. Nope, it's full of shit.
Well, I will say that one thing that is hilarious about Dave's tweets is about, without exaggeration, about 20 to 25% are of cats. About 50% are about his crippling depression. And then the remainder are just retweets of girls' tweets. He just, if you're a girl, he'll retweet no matter what you have to say.
Yeah, you know, you've heard the term cat lady, and that's someone you usually make fun of. Dave is the cat guy.
But my thing is this, is that not every girl is Socrates, right? So, I mean, all you really need to do if you want to get your stuff out there is you just need Dave to friend you. Because if you're a female, it doesn't matter what you say. I mean, literally, I'm telling you right now, we should catfish him. Just take a picture of a beautiful girl, befriend Dave Chauffeur, and just put "my elbow itches." It'll get retweeted. It doesn't. He doesn't even read it for content.
Right, right. Enjoying Chipotle today. You know, retweet, like, yeah. No, you're right about that. Let's make that happen. Get on that, one of our listeners.
Well, it's too late now. He's definitely going to listen to this.
He'll still fall for it. He'll still hope. Maybe she's real. I had a bit of a Facebook controversy this past week. Big argument. I had tweeted out, let's say Friday night, maybe Thursday night, doesn't matter. The Cosby jury at this point had been deliberating, 40 some odd hours. And I tweeted out that if they get any more exhausted, Bill was going to try to have sex with them. So then Tony Perkins from the Tony Perkins Show and from Fox 5 tweeted out from his Fox 5 account that my comedian buddy Rob Mayer just tweeted a joke that made the entire newsroom laugh, which I thought was pretty cool. So I posted a screenshot of that on Facebook, and then I posted the actual joke itself in another post. So this guy,
it's a joke. It's worth mentioning.
I just said it, Joe. I said
I missed that.
If the jurors get any more exhausted, Bill is going to try to have sex with them. Thank you. So it's a very good joke, by the way. So this guy, Che Tate, I don't know him. I don't think I've ever met him in person, but somehow we're Facebook friends. And a week or so ago, I had mentioned something about Cosby. I'm not sure what it was, but probably something to the effect of I hope you go to jail, rapist. It probably said more cleverly, but probably in that vein. And I remember him taking a little issue, but we never really talked. Nothing came of it, but I could tell that he was that bothered him. So fast forward to this, he goes on this tirade. He goes, "If you against rape, then stop making fucking jokes about it, bitch. I do what the fuck I want, bitch. You make fun of Cosby, you making fun of a very serious situation, and he ain't guilty until proven innocent, asshole. Again, bitch, rape ain't no joke. All this other stupid shit on the news, make fun of that. And black people, if you following this stupid non-money fucker, motherfucker, then you need to rethink your white friends. Fuck you, bitch-ass clown." So, of course, I respond with the classic Joe Robinson, "too long, didn't read." and then I posted this entire exchange. And then he unfriended me. But what the fuck is wrong with people?
Well, first of all, he doesn't care that you are making fun, quote unquote, of rape, which you're not. What you're doing is exposing hypocrisy, exposing ridiculousness, especially that this jury is having difficulty deciding that the word of 60 women who have somehow conspired to bring this 80-year-old man down is right. And whatever, you get the point. But he doesn't care about rape. He cares about Bill Cosby, which I understand. I do. I understand that. But, you know, there are people that I was a huge fan of until I found out that they were something that they weren't. I mean, there's a lot of stories. O.J. Simpson, Kirby Puckett. I mean, you can go on and on. Sam Cooke, the great musician, where you find out they are not what you thought that they were. And then, right. And then you have to change your view of them. You do. The you
Catholic
have to.
Church. I mean,
if you choose not to do that, that's fine. But to the idea of getting upset with it, by the way, it's this safe place to go. Where can I go where I can't defend a rapist. I can't. So where can I go? I can go here's what the judicial system has to say about it. Well, we're not the judicial system. We get to decide if we think somebody's guilty. We don't have to abide by their same rules because we don't send people to jail. I get to think he's guilty. But what they do is they say, all right, you know, you're making fun of rape, which, again, you're not. Or you're a racist, which eventually he decides to say you're a racist.
Right.
Right. Because if you accuse Bill Cosby, who is black, of rape, which, by the way, 60 women have accused him of. Right. Then you're a racist. Right. Well, are you a racist if you call the 18 black women that accused him of rape a liar? Does that make you a racist?
Well, that's basically what you'd be saying, you know.
Right. You have to say that these women, black, white, I see an Asian in here. I'm looking at pictures of them. They've all conspired to bring down this one old man. And if you say that I don't believe that, you're a racist, which I think is much more dangerous than the idea of people. That's the most dangerous thing about social media, and that is I get to label you immediately, and it happens all the time. That's what's happening. Literally, it's proliferating. Help me with the word.
Yeah.
Throughout Facebook, where that's where you shut somebody down. You're a racist. Now what?
He also called Tony Perkins a Uncle Tomass because he thought my joke was funny, basically. I mean, so we're no longer
friends. White people trying to bring down Bill Cosby?
Meaning, I don't know.
You side with that, but where does Uncle Tom come from?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there was hundreds of white people that knew about this in position of power at NBC or whatever that did nothing so they could keep, you know, making money off Cosby. So,
well, logic, obviously it's flawed, but I still want to know what is his thought process? What is it that makes Tony Perkins an Uncle Tom?
I don't know.
He thinks that he has to laugh at you because you're white and you have some sort of power over him. And that's how Tony Perkins clearly has a higher social standing than you and I will ever have combined. So right. He's not kowtowing to you.
No, it's ridiculous. But, you know, since then, the jury is hung. We all know what happened. We don't want to get too serious on this show, but fuck you, Chase Tate. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll try to recreate the magic of the first time we did this show. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show. You may remember me from my critically acclaimed role as Bucky in Death of a Dentist. Well, my next star turn will be in a show called The Newly Dead Game, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. Imagine, you're in a TV studio at a taping of the very popular game show Clash of Couples. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, June 24th at the Workhouse Arts Center, Lorton, Virginia. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. I don't really know what a podcast is, but the Rob and Joe Show is my favorite. Thanks for listening.
Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Now, speaking of Gramps, we have some good Gramps stuff from this past week. Now, you told a story Saturday, but it's since gotten better, correct, Joe?
Yeah. Gramps and I went out to dinner because his wife was out of town and Katie was there. And he brought up the name Walker Hayes three times during dinner. Now, we've talked about this before. Walker Hayes is a comedian. She's, I guess, based in this area originally, but I guess she doesn't live here any longer. And I know she does acting as well or whatever.
Yeah.
But I have met her on one occasion. And, of course, Gramps predatorily comments on her Facebook. But it's very, very creepy, but whatever. I mean, he's old, so it's adorable, whatever. Well, I go over there on Father's Day because he's my father. He goes, hey, let me show you something real quick. He brings me downstairs. He pulls up on his computer a picture of Walker Hayes. Now, is Walker Hayes in a thong is what he shows me. And I go, Dad, come on. Right. Because my kids are there. My girlfriend's there. Like, I don't want to see this. Right. So, but you have to understand something about this picture. Gramps doesn't have like a photo gallery. He doesn't know how to do that. So that means that picture, because I know I've said it a million times, but I sent Gramps the song. He has to keep it on his desktop in order to listen to it. He doesn't know how to navigate. So that means somewhere, it could be his screensaver for all I know, but there's a picture of Walker Hayes' ass now is on Gramps' computer.
Yeah, good for you, Gramps. That's what I say. But this is, now didn't Katie and you have a bet about Gramps and something?
Yeah. And Gramps is going to listen to this, so this will—I don't want to embarrass him. So I'll take that bet off air. All right, I don't know. That might be where the line is drawn, but okay. I'm protective of Gramps. I'm like, there's no way he did this. And Katie goes, "Oh no, he certainly has done this before." So you and I have discussed it, and we'll see if that's the case and who wins the bet. And I'm sorry to be so cryptic, but anybody feel free to private message me on Twitter, and I'll tell you what the bet is.
Well, the other big news that you dropped Saturday is that you're going to be seeing a lot more of Gramps.
Yeah, our lease runs out at the beginning of September, end of August, beginning of September, and we're going to be looking for a house. But while we're looking for a house, we need a place to stay. Now, we're looking right now, but our summers are busy, and so we're looking for a house. But in the interim, we have to stay somewhere, so we're going to stay with Gramps. That's where we're going to stay.
You and Katie are going to live with Gramps.
For a very, very brief period of time, but yes.
I don't know. Are you going to be able to keep up the things that you like to do to Katie while you're in your house?
I generally don't think that will be an issue. You know, we are in a downstairs room. He is in an upstairs room. We had a discussion on Saturday about proximity, but I mean, the sound would have to travel. And by the way, I'm not just destroying it, so it's fine. We'll be able to be quiet enough for them not to know what we're up to. But okay. Of course, Robbie, yes. He said,
I dispute the proximity. And yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you saying that the issue was the noise coming from them.
From upstairs to downstairs. Yes, you're going to hear them.
I don't believe that that's going
to
be
at some point.
You will hear Gramps just going to town.
I'll tell you what, I mean, and I'll be honest, but I'll bet you that never happens.
Oh no, it'll happen whether you hear it or not. You might not be at the house. I mean, you're gone a lot.
Well, we can ask Gramps, you know, with what frequency.
Well, I don't, I mean, he's kind
of, here's a tidbit of information that I didn't talk about the first time. Right. That room that they're going to be in used to be my room.
Uh-oh.
So I know how the sound travels in and out of that room.
You know what happens when you're on a beanbag in that room.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope the beanbag chair isn't in there.
The beanbag incident happened in a different bedroom upstairs. Okay.
All right. So you know, okay. See, Robbie, I think he's going to be the expert on this, Joe. You're going to hear some things, and they're going to hear some things of you, too. So you're going to get closer, regardless of whether you like it or not.
Well, I have no problem with you asking Gramps, did you hear anything? I don't mind that.
Right.
And of course, if I hear something, I'll let you know.
Now, I don't know, Joe. I feel like I know how you and Katie operate in terms of your lifestyle, and you like to, you know, do things. I feel like this is going to cramp your style a lot.
Well, clearly, this can't be the rest of my life. This is a very, very temporary situation that I'm in right now.
I'm just concerned. This is going to make you buy a house you don't really want as much.
I don't know if that's the case, but I mean, I don't want to enter into a lease and, you know, and then be tied back down to another apartment. We don't want to do that. So I'm not saying that there's no truth in what you're saying. It's possible, but I love Gramps. We get along very well. I mean, hopefully we can, you know, trim down the Walker Hayes talk to maybe 30, 40 minutes a day. But, you know, other than that, I think
can we have a dinner party?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's not my house to have a dinner party at which to have a dinner party. But I guarantee you, if you said, Gramps, let's have a dinner party, he'd do it.
Now, what is the TV situation there? Because I'm imagining that it's not ideal for what you're used to and what you prefer.
Well, like, you know,
I don't even know.
So they have cable, but I have an Amazon Fire Stick and I have, you know, three televisions. I can clearly watch anything that I want whenever I want to watch it. And Gramps and his wife, they go to bed fairly early, not Robbie early, which, by the way, we do need to discuss. But, you know, they're going to be in bed much earlier than us.
Robbie, the
Joe said that he's going to save 10 grand by staying there.
You did say that. I didn't understand the math.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't want to talk about the amount of money that I make or the amount of money that I spend. But if you talk about my rent, my if you talk about everything that I spend in bills that are associated with where I live, in addition to other income that's going to happen during that period of time, that's the amount of money that I'll spend that we'll save. Katie and I will save in 2 months.
I have a question. That's
a lot of money. Yes.
Not would you, but could you have sex in that bedroom if Gramps was out in the living room watching TV?
Could I? What do you mean? Like,
in other words, he's not going to hear you because he's deaf.
Right.
But he's out there with the TV blaring, watching Law and Order, whatever he's watching. Could you have sex in the, it's the next room over. Could you have sex in that
room? I don't think I could. You mean get to the end?
Yeah. Could
where
you
the
perform?
Stuff comes out? I don't think I could do it.
Who do you think would have a bigger problem doing it, you or Katie?
I think it would be equal. I do. But, you know, me, I'm the one that's got to get somewhere. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, I think you both got to kind of get somewhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's be honest. I don't always get her there. But
but I mean, you have to get to a certain level of arousal, both of you, for it to...
Well, no, I'm going to be able to do that. But honestly, I think we'd both be like, can we just wait till 9:15? You know what I mean? We'll be able to hold out.
So this is going to happen in September.
September 6th, I think, is my last day here. So, yeah, September, I'm guessing by the end of October. I'll bet you November 1, we'll have a house by then.
All right. So the reason that we did the show Saturday morning as opposed to just in the middle of the day on Saturday is because you, Robbie, were taking the mother-in-law to the airport. She was flying home and you were going to get to the airport, drop her off, and then come home and ravage your Taiwanese woman for the rest of the day and evening. Joe, let's guess how long did they go at it? On that day, that first day of freedom again.
Huh. Well, you know, Robbie, you know, he's the guy who dims lights and puts scarves over lamps and sure. And plays me. You know what I mean? Are we including all that?
I'm mixed saying, tape, yeah, from all the way time till he set the cigarette? The mood. Yeah.
Huh.
Because all that's foreplay to Robbie. I mean, who knows? Maybe he made a nice drink and they stared at each other's eyes and.
And Robbie said that
he responded.
Yeah. Robbie said he had no shows to watch that night. I remember talking about that before. Yeah, there were no shows. So no shows. And I remember because Robbie said we had to do the show at 8 because the mother-in-law's flight was at 4. I believe I'm not kidding, by the way. That's what he had to get there.
I said we had to leave at 11:30. It was 3 hours ahead of time. We had to be there 3 hours ahead of time because it's an international flight. Right. Do you want to know what time we got home?
What, 2 o'clock?
4 o'clock.
Okay, 4.
So we waited in a very long line. We saw her off, drove home. We were not home until 4 o'clock.
Okay. Did you go out to eat afterwards, or once you got home, you stayed home?
We came straight home.
Okay. I'm guessing.
Did you start right away when you got home?
Hold on, Joe. This is where we guess. I'm going to say that they got going at 7 p.m. and they eventually fell asleep at about 11.
So that's crazy talk. Here's why. Because as we found out last, the episode that got lost, the lost episode, Robbie goes to bed every night at 8:30.
Yes.
Those are 8:30 and 9.
Okay. So you think that he waited 3 hours after what he went through to then only have this little teeny window before night? No, this just didn't happen. So Robbie,
I'm sure they had dinner at some point before.
But he already let us know that they were going to go eat with the mother-in-law before they took her to the airport.
Okay,
so
that's called lunch.
I understand that, but now it's four. I don't think that Robbie's going to wait 2 hours, then eat, then I know. I think we're talking about middle of the day, 4:30 p.m. to 6. That's what happened.
Marcus, you want to chime in before Robbie says?
I think there's probably some freshening up time. They were sitting in a long line. So let's give her 20, 30 minutes. And then by that point, Robbie has situated the rose petals on the floor and on the bed comforter. And he is, got the one leg up and he's got the hand behind the head and he's just waiting for her.
So you're saying 4:30 to 5-ish, and then he went for a couple hours? Is that what we're saying, Marcus?
I'm saying he was done in 3 minutes.
Yeah, but they stayed, they tried to do the sex.
Yeah, the whole deal. The whole experience, yeah.
Oh,
the
Robbie, whole... what do you say? What tell us what happened.
We got home at 4, then we sort of crashed because we'd been up since pretty early. Yeah. We're packing the car and doing a lot of things, so we kind of crashed. Sure. We'd eaten buffet with the mother-in-law before we went to the airport, so we were pretty full. So we did. Then we kind of just had a little snack. We didn't really have dinner.
Sure.
Then we did both have to shower because we were sweaty. It was a hot day.
Sure.
We 8:30-ish. I went upstairs. I set the mood. I put the music on. By 9 o'clock, we were asleep.
Oh, man.
Hey, you still you got
wait
it
all
in
that time
wire,
for a,
yeah.
for a half hour. Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed, Robbie. I mean,
yeah. Did you play music, Robbie?
Yes.
Did she video the whole thing, like the Hall & Oates concert?
No, no. I told you. We use Alexa now, and I say, Alexa, play soft jazz because that's what she likes, and it says, I found a playlist for baby making jazz.
So when you are playing soft jazz,
that's what's happening.
What's that, Rob?
You're making love to Kenny G. That's what you're doing. And going at 9 p.m.
We discussed this. Yes, that has happened. Yes.
So when you are making love to your girlfriend and Kenny G comes on, does it help you last longer? Because it would help me.
Yeah, it does.
Okay. I would be so annoyed and distracted by the shit music. I'm telling you, it's true. Let me ask you a question, Rob. If you were having sex and it was Sunno, as was mentioned in the bonus show, wouldn't you last longer?
Yeah, well, you're going to start thinking about that. Then it's going to start bothering you, and obviously your focus will not be on the woman in front of you or behind you or wherever she is on you. Not behind you. That's a different position. But, I think you would last longer, sometimes isn't a bad thing. I think that's probably a good playlist, probably has a few of those in the middle to get you to last a little bit longer, and then you get to the home stretch.
How many of the songs that come on do you know?
Quite a few. Now, really? They're not the versions that I'm familiar with, but,
they're covers, right?
They're covers of jazzy covers of songs you know.
Give me an example.
The first song that I heard when I turned on Alexa? I wish I could remember.
Is it contemporary songs? Are we talking classics, 80s, 90s?
Anything you can imagine, they'll turn it into a jazz song.
Oh, great. Anything you can imagine, they'll fuck it up. So did Sunday you go at it and have the full Robbie experience? Then you got some rest? You had a whole day? Or did you spend listening to this garbled episode taking 75 notes?
Let me ask you this. Did the garbled episode in any way affect your lovemaking?
It definitely put a damper on the day.
Did you yell at your at her mom because of the garbled episode?
I tried to put it out of my mind as best as I could.
All right, Joe, let's guess. This is now Tuesday. The mother-in-law left Saturday. We know they had sex Saturday night. How many times have they made love since the mother-in-law left? We know it's
so
at
we're
least
talking
once.
About Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and they couldn't have today. So in the last 3 days, I bet that was the only time.
No, I'm sure they did it two more times.
So you think three times? I say the one.
I'm saying they did Sunday and they did Monday as well.
Robbie? I guess you want to guess.
Two. I go two. I'll go right down the middle. I'll give you one extra.
No, Saturday night was it. And definitely yes. the botched episode was definitely took the wind out of my sails a bit.
Can you imagine not being able to have sex because of that episode, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when the next time I thought about that episode was as I was driving home to do this one. I mean, Robbie, you need to go to a shrink, man. This, we'll just do another episode.
Yeah, I mean, for 3 months or whatever it was, your mother-in-law's there. She leaves, and you just 20
I'm
minutes.
About Robbie. Let me ask you this, Robbie. Do you ever have nothing to do?
No.
You never have nothing to do.
No.
Dude, that's a problem, right?
Great. You need some just time to just downtime.
Every second of every day, you have something to do.
I basically have something pretty much planned out for every single day. If I find myself like floundering for something to do, I'll find something to binge watch that I want to catch up on.
What are you doing tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're doing the murder mystery, so I'm going to be mentally preparing for that.
What are you doing? Come out to
Sorry, go ahead.
Rob's going to plug.
I want to plug the Rob Typical. Spiewak. We're going to hang out with Rob and Carrie Spiewak, so we get to continue with the Who Does Carrie Like More game. And I think I'm winning that right now, but you never know. Joe might come back and
losing it to everybody. You
know. And I'm a dark horse.
Max Bergson losing it to Carrie Spiewak. I think Rob Spiewak likes me more.
Yeah, I think so.
Carrie likes me too.
Joe, do you think this is going to upset Robbie, the T-shirt situation? Do you know what I'm saying?
The T-shirt situation.
The design.
Oh, yeah. So when it comes to audio or it comes to visual design, Robbie, he's very protective of his opinion. So I know Robbie thinks that the whatever idea we went with is inferior to what he had originally come up with. So how will it affect him? I don't know. I mean, it's not a zero. It's not a 10, though. I think that ship has sailed. But okay. It's going to be around. When he sees the T-shirt, it'll hearken some bad memories. And it'll pop up to about a 4 or 5, but it'll get down to about a 3 by showtime.
We do have Rob and Joe Show T-shirts.
Rob and Joe Show T-shirts?
I mean, I'm sorry. Die Laughing Productions
T-shirt. He almost flipped his computer over.
What if we made Rob and Joe Show T-shirts without your asking you for any advice or anything?
You really want to go there?
He would never have sex again. Jeez.
Now, what did you print some T-shirts, Rob?
Well, I didn't print them myself. The T-shirt. Yeah, we have 72 new T-shirts to sell.
Is it men's and ladies' cuts? Is it designed with the wine glass or whatever on it?
That one you hate. Yes. Look, I took a vote on Facebook and asking people, by a narrow margin, that one won.
I was also overridden for this, Rob. So, Robbie, I mean.
I went with what the people said, and it was close. And a tie, I do what I want.
I also pick my battles, right? I mean, I agree that it is a worse shirt, but, you know, who cares? You know what I mean? If somebody wants to buy a T-shirt, I don't think anybody's going to say, ooh, the wine glass.
What I am protective of is our brand and how it is represented. This is my area of expertise, which is branding, brand identity. You guys are unfamiliar with it, so you wouldn't understand why it's important when you're selling a product. Well, Rob undermines that by printing T-shirts that have nothing to do with the style that I've set out there.
Well, Rob asked 13 people on Facebook, so that's not good enough to go ahead and just do the opposite of what we thought was best.
If they sell, what do I care? I never have to look at them again. But if they don't sell, then that's gonna really fucking annoy me.
Okay. Well, if they don't sell, then we'll do another brand, do another style.
Okay. Well, what are you going to do?
Okay.
Can I burn them if they don't sell?
No, we'll give them away. Why would you burn them? No. Robbie, The t-shirt you designed, the one that you wore at the Hall & Oates concert?
Yes, it's great.
I don't think that's our brand. That, hey, no, I fingered the killer.
You're both right. So the t-shirt,
I don't want that to be our brand.
I get it. I get why you didn't want to print that one. Of course, I understand the content, but I'm talking about the way it looks.
Okay. And I said, can you make this look better? And you just had text. And that wasn't interesting to me. So you didn't, there's no brand to that. It's just the words.
Well, no, but I mean, in Robbie's defense, obviously there's a reason that, you know, fast food logos are certain colors. And I've looked at things and said, wow, that doesn't look appealing to me. Clearly that does matter. But yes. I'll also say that, and honestly, Rob, the idea that you went to Facebook and they made our decision for us, that also sucks a little bit. But who cares? At the end of the day, I mean, it is a T-shirt. If somebody wants a T-shirt, I promise you, they're not going to look at it and go, oh, I don't like that glass in there. I'm not going to buy it. So if somebody wants to buy a T-shirt, they will buy that T-shirt. I do think we are over, what's the word I'm looking for? We're overanalyzing it.
No,
of course we're overanalyzing because we're doing a show. But how much do I care on a level of 1 to 10? A 4.
Okay. The deciding factor to me was that I think that women don't want text written right where their breasts are, where that's right. Generally a shirt that women buy. And so I think this is more appealing to women. And
all right.
Did you get that?
That to me is the deciding factor.
Did you get that information about text on women's shirts by the sales of your own comedy T-shirt?
Well, that's different because the text makes up the entire shirt. Yeah. So it's not in the design that Robbie had, which is the same saying, I got drunk and solved the murder. The text is written right across where the breast would be.
By the way, Marcus is right about women not liking the text on the shirt you sell, Rob, because Marcus's wife hates it.
And she speaks for all women. Let's take a break. We'll come back, wrap this thing up. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe Show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it, so should you. Now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Or Robbie plays a clip.
So,
what about the product you're going to sell, Rob? Did you go talk about that?
Didn't we already talk about that? The condom?
We talked about that.
When we talked about the guy that sold the koala bear.
Yeah, because Mac and I had a discussion about it on Americast.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember, download Americast today.
Check it out. Michael Phelps is going to race a shark. Is this really happening? Is this real for Shark Week?
Does the shark have its own lane? Like, you can't control where a shark goes. How's it going to race it? It could just shoot off in another direction.
By the way, what kind of lane? Like, even if it's glass, like, a shark is strong. It could, I don't know.
Hey, I watched Jaws 2 over the weekend.
Oh, well, then you're the expert.
You watched Jaws 2?
Yes, I watched Jaws.
He didn't have sex with his girlfriend. He had watched Jaws 2.
And this kid in the movie,
You just said you never have nothing to do. And then you watched Jaws 2, which is the best
Jaws 2 because that's his girlfriend's favorite Jaws.
And this kid in the movie literally races the shark. And he has a head start. And guess what? He loses, and he loses big.
Yeah.
He gets eaten.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think Michael Phelps is risking being devoured by this shark. But
he
shark
should. That'd be more entertaining.
25 miles per hour, and Michael Phelps probably goes 5 or 6. So it's not a fair fight.
You know, there's a movie out. It's called, like, X Number of Meters, right? And it's these two girls get trapped in a cage and around great white sharks, and they have to swim up. How the hell is this a movie? I don't understand.
I don't know. Well, you also had that movie with the girl was stranded on the rock with the shark circling around. I think that's the shark movies are coming back. But you made the point when we did this show the first time is it would be more interesting if Michael Phelps would jump the shark on water skis, correct?
Yes, that's so much more interesting.
Which yeah, kind of, why do you have Michael Phelps? If you're jumping a shark, you can have any celebrity. It doesn't. Michael Phelps swims.
No, it doesn't matter.
Jumping the shark. Fonzie himself. You want Fonzie? Henry Winkler?
Yes, I want Henry Winkler.
I don't believe that Henry Winkler, although when you look at pictures of that, Henry Winkler is definitely water skiing. He's wearing a leather jacket, by the way. When he's jumping the shark, he's wearing a leather jacket. But you could get any. We talked about who could do it, but I don't necessarily know who can water ski. By the way, a big celebrity isn't going to water ski.
Okay, how much would you pay for a pay-per-view if Henry Winkler today water skis with the leather jacket on and jumps a great white shark?
Zero. I wouldn't pay anything for that.
Well, I'm paying big time for that.
No, you're not. You're not.
Yes, I am.
You're going to go to Tawanda and say, I just spent $50 to watch an old man jump over a shark.
Yes. Yes.
No, you're not. Now, I remember when I was a kid... When Robbie and I were kids, when Evel Knievel would jump over shit, you'd be glued to the television. But there was only three channels. It was a different time. You can watch Death Defying Feats constantly 24 hours a day if you want to. We watch Cops. You see people, you know, getting hit in the head, high-speed chases. This shit's real.
I've never seen someone jump a shark. By the way, if you don't know the reference, in Happy Days, the episode where Henry Fonzie jumps the shark is then the term jump the shark started because that's when apparently the show went downhill. So whenever something, is no longer good anymore, or that moment where it stops being interesting or cool, they jump the shark. But I literally want to see somebody jump a shark.
Yeah, I'll bet you that if Henry Winkler jumped a shark on pay-per-view, it wouldn't make $100,000.
What are you talking about? Yes, it would.
No, it wouldn't.
No,
pay-per-view? No, it wouldn't.
No, you have to put it on regular cable television. It'll get enough viewers.
Would you watch it if it's on regular TV, Joe?
I'm not appointment televisioning it, but if I'm flipping channels and I see it's on. By the way, I'm not going to watch it because they're going to show it on ESPN 50 times. I'll just watch. You know what I mean?
But if he dies in live, the shark is eating him. I want to see that. As it happened,
Henry Winkler is not going to risk his life.
No, the whole point of this is that he is risking his life. Because if you're really going to try to jump a shark on water skis, if you get nervous and fall, you're dead. I mean, I want there to be real drama.
Well, it has to be a great white. You realize that if it's not a great white and you fall in, you just swim to the side and get out. The shark's not going to eat you.
It's going to be a great white, and you're going to be bleeding already. That's what I want. I want an open wound.
You're adding a lot to this. So you're saying if this was really happening, meaning Henry Winkler is jumping a great white, there's a chance he won't make it, and he has an open wound. That's the scenario.
He has the black leather on and sunglasses.
And what would I pay to see that? Well, what are you rooting for? You don't want to root for somebody to die. What if you see somebody die? Are you glad you spent the $50?
Well, it's money's going to charity, and if he gets hurt, the more goes to charity.
What's a charity?
I don't know. Whatever you want it to be. Something cancer related. Something we all can get behind.
I mean, no Greenpeace, too militant.
Right. It's not going to be Save the Great Whites.
The Nature Conservancy.
So you're going to want to see that, right?
I'm telling you, I genuinely believe that even if it was built the impossible way that you just described it, I wouldn't pay to see it. Would you guys pay to see it? By the way, the other thing is, the only thing you're paying for is the event at that time. You're going to, you know how many times you just go to YouTube 15 minutes later, you can see every angle.
Yeah, okay, but I mean, I'd pay to watch it.
Do you want, who gives a shit?
Yeah, but I want to see him interviewed with the leather jacket. It just is funny to me, just the idea of it.
You can see all that.
I want to see it immediately.
You can have that guy, the Dark Lord, probably release it early. You'll be able to see it whenever you want to.
All right. What if we take Justin and 98 Rock? They just had on Travis Pastrana, the extreme sports superstar. He, you know, lives in this world, not totally that world, obviously, but, you know, he's flipping things on bikes and doing crazy things. What if he's did this as a stunt? A real.
Well, let me look at it this way.
He's going to jump 18 great whites.
Travis Pastrana jumped out of an airplane without a parachute. Do you know he did this?
No.
He jumped out of an airplane without a parachute. And then somebody with a parachute had to also jump out and then grab him and then attach himself to him and then pull the cord. That happened.
That sounds cool.
Well, that wasn't pay-per-view.
Okay, but this, look, you have a giant pool with a great white in there. Travis Pastrana has to jump over the pool. If he doesn't make it, he lands in the pool, and then all bets are off. If he can get out without the shark attacking him, good. But that's what's at stake. It's basically a distance, just like every Evel Knievel thing. Can you clear this? It's a distant situation. So he's got to get X amount of speed, and he's got to land it perfect, jump perfectly.
If he doesn't make it, he's still going to be close to the edge.
Okay. Well, maybe there's 10 great whites in there.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Robbie, in Jaws yes. 2, doesn't a water skier get eaten?
Correct.
Yeah.
The water skier and the person in the boat.
Remember how, don't tell, Robbie, do you remember how Jaws 2 gets killed?
Don't ruin it. Spoiler alert.
Do you remember, Rob?
I have no idea.
I believe he feeds him a giant wire filled with electricity that Jaws bites down on. Am I right, Robbie?
Yes. They pull up an underwater electrical cable that's filled with power lines and high voltage, and he gets the shark to bite it. Shark fries. That's correct.
Do you remember how Jaws 3 is killed, Robbie?
I do not.
Neither do I, but one thing that I do remember is that Robbie and I saw Jaws 3 in the theater. It's in 3D.
Yep, it was
Do you know who it stars, Rob?
No.
You got
Corbin Burnson.
Academy Award winner Lou Gossett Jr.
Nice.
As well as Dennis Quaid.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good cast.
I don't remember who the love interest is, but it's one of those, you know, late 70s, early 80s stars. Sure. But yeah, I don't remember how that. I do remember it was in like a SeaWorld scenario. This guy was like a, he worked in SeaWorld, and somehow they had this tunnel that went underwater, and Jaws cracked it with his nose. He was able to flood SeaWorld. And,
Joe Robinson, Jaws historian. All right, last thing on our notes.
Well, hold on. Jaws 4.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't remember how he died, but do you remember the name of Jaws 4? You guys remember?
No.
The dentures.
Jaws 4, The Revenge.
No, that was 5, wasn't it?
I thought it was 4, and then I think the tagline was, "This time it's personal." And I remember that because a friend of ours had a joke, and he goes, "This time it's personal. Guys, you've killed me 3 times. I'm starting to take this shit personal."
That's funny. Jaws right. Revenge, 1987.
I'm guess sorry, but the Bond villain was the best Jaws.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Guess who?
Happy Gilmore. But yeah, sorry. But Rob, was Jaws right. 4 The Revenge? Am I right about
Jaws
that?
Jaws 4 was called Jaws The Revenge. It wasn't. There was no 4 in it. It was
okay,
Jaws
right, the Revenge. That was the fourth Jaws. Got it.
What did it have on IMDb out of 10?
Oh, it's got to be a 2. Well, IMDb is inaccurate. You got to go to Rotten Tomatoes because IMDb, somebody will give it a 10. Like you see movies on there, they all got 7s. They're horrible. So I'm going to give it higher than that. I'm going to say 4.3.
Anybody else want to chime in?
6.
Wow. 2.9.
Trust your gut, Joe.
And it stars Mario Van Peebles.
Oh,
Michael
yeah.
Caine is in it. Jesus. And Melvin Van Peebles. All the Van Peebles. Last thing, it's on the list.
Who's your favorite Van Peebles? Sorry, Jesus. Go ahead.
Okay. Joe tells the story about how Gramps learned what a golden shower is.
Yeah, he was selling. We're talking about insurance. My father has been selling insurance for 50 years. And he sold insurance to a madam who ran, clearly what a madam does. She ran a whorehouse.
Right.
And the madam was telling my father a story about it was either a senator or a congressman who had somebody that he frequented there, and what he wanted done to him was a golden shower. And of course, my father's like, well, what's that? I don't know what that is. And he goes, well, she pisses on him. That's when he found that out. He goes, people do that? Well, just congressmen. And my father was told by a madam that I wonder if she's dead. She's probably collecting her policy at this point.
Are you, will you guarantee there'll be none of that happening in your gramps' stay when you live there?
I can't guarantee what he does. I mean, I can only say what I'm doing, and I promise I won't.
If you hear this show in time, Wednesday night, DC Improv, 7:30, back to the 80s, Rob Spivak will have a small role. He will be there. The whole cast will be there. This Saturday, a new venue, Lorton, Virginia, the Workhouse Arts Center, the former prison. We will go in there and make murder funny. Murderers used to live there, and now we're going to make jokes about it. And, of course, July 1st, Brightbox, two more Back to the 80s, DieLaughingProductions.com. We have t-shirts. Robbie hates them. I love them. We'll see what you guys think. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.